Boss, copy all shot to boss.
You're listening to FPL Kobe Talks.
It's Freddie Youngblood again. Push out by Bartes. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Hello and welcome to FPL Kopi Talks. I'm ABK.
I'm Lukman. How are you, bro? How's the trip?
Yeah, trip was great. I mean, 5-0, I couldn't ask for a better trip than I had. I think the only thing that got me down was the 3 points that you have over me on FPL. Yeah, so for some context, I think we were 16 points ahead. You were 16 points ahead before the final game week. Yeah. And then we ended the season 3 points difference. So
how's the feeling? Because you captain Jesus, right? How was the feeling seeing your captain Hall life?
It was great. I think so the thing was, I was sitting on the opposite side when the goal was scored. So when the goal was caught, I wasn't really sure. I was talking to the guys around me. I was like, I think it was Jesus, but I couldn't be sure until they showed the replay. So it was like a bit of a VAR check where like once they confirmed it on the screen that it was Jesus, then I was like, yes.
Wait, they showed the replay on the large screen, is it?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, because it was
for every goal or?
Because I was sitting on the opposite side, so. When in the first half, when they scored, right, I think the Saka goal, he celebrated at the corner. He did his flag celebration at the corner where I was at. So I was quite lucky with that. I think both of Saka's goals also was at my corner. And it was only Jesus' goal in the second half that was on the opposite side, so I couldn't really see who scored it. But I was happy still. Yeah, Jesus also got an assist, so I was happy. I was happy, but then I also wasn't really following the other games. So I didn't know what the other games were doing . I mean, so yeah.
So you didn't know in real time.
I didn't know in real time. I didn't know at all. All this happened when I went back to the accommodation. When I went back to the hotel to check. Because somehow I couldn't get reception there. I think because there were so many people.
But you managed to sell
Haaland. That's the thing with the FPL. See, so I told you previous spot that I wanted to do all my changes before, and I did. Before I flew, I made the change from Kane from Haaland to Kane. Right. So I knew that I was gonna play Kane.
You did this after the league, right?
No. Before the league. Before I left to London. Right. And then I made the change from Isak to Jesus as well. Right. And then
you did it the day before.
Yeah, I did it the day before. And I closed it. And I was telling myself, okay, I'm not going to think about FPL at all. I mean, I'm just going to focus on the game.
I didn't know that.
The thing was, that I came to the game early. I went to the game about 2 hours before the kickoff. Right. And I literally had nothing to do. I was just sitting there, just soaking in the Emirates
in the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was only after the deadline that I realized, oh no, I could have done my FPL team 15 minutes before, because I was seated at my seat in the stadium. I think the stadium wasn't full yet at the time, so I had a lot of time, and I still had reception at the time because there weren't so many people. So I could have changed my team actually, and I think I would have taken De Bruyne out. Because I think the leaks that came out that De Bruyne wasn't starting, so I could have taken De Bruyne out.
Oh, for an additional minus.
-4. Right? Yeah, I'll probably get the Arsenal player in. I think I probably wouldn't be so ballsy to get Xhaka in, but I think I would have probably gotten Odegaard.
You already did a -4, right? Wait, you already did a -4,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
So you would have taken a -8. Yeah, actually, it makes sense to take a -8 because KDB wasn't playing, because the league was quite valid already. It's quite early also.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So but anyway, I think it wouldn't have mattered, because I think I wouldn't have had the balls to go for Xhaka for his final game.
Well, who would have sold KDB for?
I think probably Odegaard or something.
Who came on for KDB from your bench?
I can't remember. Do you remember? Let me have a look at my team. Yeah, so
Look at your team. I think Botman, right?
Yeah, Botman. Yeah, so it wouldn't have mattered, I think it would have been less goals scored, less points.
I would have taken a -8, by the way. So I went all out, Yeah, because I found out Rashford was starting, right? Because I didn't have Rashford, right? I'm thinking, oh shit, man, then scary. Then Mitoma was a bit iffy, the news. I'm like, okay, I'll just have Mitoma anyway, because he's not even on form, right? So I Mitoma to Rashford. And then Martial, who wasn't starting, to Alvarez, and Haaland to Kane, minus 8. Yeah. He didn't pay off, huh? Actually, he did, lah. Kane paid it off.
Yeah, Kane. Alvarez. I mean, whoever did Haaland to Kane, I think that's the move that you had to do for this week. Yeah, and then...
Okay, let's quickly move on. Anything else on your UK trip? Wait, do you watch... The FA Cup final, or you on? You just came back this morning, right?
I came back. Yeah, no. I left UK on Tuesday, so I went back to Greece where I took the Scoot flight to, and I spent some time in Greece, like, cause it's much cheaper.
Wait,
to
so
stay in
FA Cup final last night, you were like, on flight?
On flight, yeah. So yeah. I checked the score when I returned back Singapore. All right. Yeah.
Okay, let's quickly do the mini league. Just wrap it up. Just top three. So third place, you have Chi Ming Tan with FPL X Fund. He finished OR 2476. That's quite good.
How many times has he been in podium?
Oh, I don't know. I'll check the Excel file, but
Okay.
Second place, we have our friend Shakirte. Inshallah, so he finished the season with OR at 111, which is still incredible. I mean, it's a nice number too. So you'll never forget that OR 111. And of course, at first place, right, is Wesley Ng with the team name Weasel FC. So he finished 15th in the world, 1-5. So yeah, that is an incredible finish. We are trying to get him on the pod. I mean, nothing is confirmed yet. So yeah, just keep an eye on
Keep your eyes on the Telegram channel where we're at now. Yeah.
Let's do predictions. Okay, so basically pre-season, right, we did a predictions, just a fun exercise we do. So then we want to look back like right now after the season. So this predictions we made, right, was a few days before the game week one. It is post the Community Shield, when Liverpool beat City, if you remember. Okay, so let's do that. Let's why don't we go with you first, bro? We do.
Let's do the section by section. We
yours. I say mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one is top 7.
Yeah. So we
predicted the top 7 in the table. Yeah.
Yeah. In order was Liverpool first for Liverpool, Man City second, Arsenal third, Spurs fourth, Chelsea fifth, Man U sixth, and number Leicester. Seven, Leicester.
Oh no. Okay, I think the Liverpool one, because Liverpool just beat City in the competition, I think that could have played a minor part. But Leicester 7 is amazing.
my thoughts at the start of the season was that I didn't think Haaland would have adapted as quickly as we all saw. I mean, if you remember what I mentioned, I mentioned like the German league, it's you have to deflate the numbers a bit from the German league, but that wasn't the case for Haaland at all. So I thought Haaland wouldn't have taken the Premier League by the storm, which he did.
Okay. Mine wasn't much better. So mine is Man City first. Okay, that's correct. At least Liverpool second, Spurs third. I mean, we were crazy on Spurs because Spurs did well right under Conte towards the end. Chelsea fourth, Arsenal fifth. And West Ham 6 and Man U 7. So yeah, that's quite all over the place too. Oh my god, I wasn't West Ham. West Ham was crazy. But Man U at 7. Yeah, nobody was hot on Man U, right? Even you have Man U 5th, right? Chelsea 4th. Wow. It's crazy. What a crazy season. So yeah, let's go. Anything else before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, no. Let's move on. Yeah.
Okay, so Golden Boot and top of the season.
We didn't say our bottom 3, bro.
Oh yeah. Okay, why don't you go first?
Bournemouth, Everton and Forest. For you it was Bournemouth, Fulham and Forest. So we have the same teams. Except you have except you had Fulham instead of Everton. You basically
You
basically picked all the teams that went up, right? Bournemouth, Fulham and Forest. But somehow all the three teams that went up last season are safe. So the answer is Southampton, Leeds and Leicester.
Yes, yeah. I might go with this. Okay, I won't go with Fulham again. I think your three, I probably might go with that next season for the bottom three. Possible. I don't know. Maybe Luton Town.
Everton.
Everton was going down, man. Finally, I think. Okay. Anyway. Anyway, Luton Town, bro. Do you see their home kit, bro? It's our pot color.
Really?
They wear orange.
we should get that and put copy talks at the back.
Yeah. Maybe. Okay, anyway, let's move on to the second one. Golden boot. Okay, I go mine. So I got it correct. So I predicted Haaland to get a golden boot. And EBK?
I got predicted Harry Kane, which isn't far off.
Okay. isn't far off, to be fair.
In any other season, he would have easily won it.
Easily, yeah.
I think 28, right? Okay. Was it 28 goals?
30.
30. He got 30 goals. Yes. Wow. Okay.
He's got two in the...
In the last game of the season, yeah. 30 is mad.
That's so good. Especially if you consider the team he's playing in. Okay, so the assist, you got it in KDB. So KDB got 18 fantasy assists. We just count fantasy. And I went with Salah, who finished second actually. Joined second with Trossard with 13 fantasy assists. So yeah. I think KDB is a safer pick. Yeah. Trossard is 13 also. That's, I think, with Brighton days also, I think. He did quite well, right?
Mm.
Actually, no. Brighton, I remember him scoring a hat-trick at Anfield. I don't know about assists. Maybe he got 13 assists most of it for
who?
Arsenal. I don't know.
Who?
Trossard.
No, I think he has a couple for Brighton as well.
Yeah. Okay. So we got one each there for assists and top scorer. Yeah. Okay. Top scoring by position. Why don't you go first?
So I got Alisson. My goalkeeper was Alisson. Defender Trent.
Okay, let's go position by position. Okay, I went with Alisson also. So Alisson actually finished second
behind
Raya.
David Raya. David Raya?
Yeah. So Alisson finished 4 points behind Raya. So that's quite close. And De Gea finished 5 points behind Raya in third place. So yeah, I think Alisson, we went with Alisson because we thought Liverpool would keep the most clean sheets, but that wasn't the case at all. Raya wasn't the case too. Yeah, so we almost got it. So defender, we both went with Trent. So where did Trent finish? So Trent finished third. Joint second.
Okay,
with Ben White.
I'm quite surprised he finished joint second.
Yeah, I mean actually towards the end, basically I think in the first 16 game weeks, right, he returned once only. Something crazy like that. Then he came back with the goods. Which makes me think that he's gonna be 7.5 next season as well. Probably with my game week one team or so. I don't know, we'll see. But anyway, he's joined second with White with 156. So of course Trippier is the first one. No one has actually talking about Trippier, right? None of us predicted Newcastle in our top seven.
That's how
well Eddie Howe did, man.
Yeah.
Credit to Eddie Howe. He should have won the manager of the year, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If you look at our predictions. We consider Leicester and West Ham ahead of them.
Yeah. That's crazy. Place. Yeah. I was in Greece actually, and then I met a Newcastle fan in Greece. But by the way, I heard
is he Greek?
No, he's not. He's from Newcastle. He flew in. Okay. So basically, he told me that he flew in on Monday, the day after the game, right? And then he said in his flight, the same flight, Jacob Murphy was in the same flight as him. Jacob Murphy also went to Crete for holiday. After Crete. Crete. Yeah, so I went to Crete. quite interesting. Okay. Yeah. So he mentioned to me. Yeah, I mean, nobody expected it from Eddie Howe. Like, he was saying how he basically had almost the same team. If you think about it, right, they started the season with almost the same team they did last season. I think the only exceptions were, Bruno Guimarães.
No, Guimarães came in January last.
Oh yeah. So it's almost the same team, right? Yeah. So he actually
Botman.
Yeah, I mean Botman and Isak probably. Those are the only two guys. Yeah. But I think they didn't really have the impact that
Botman underrated. I think Botman underrated.
Yeah. So they basically had the same team and they finished comfortably fourth.
Comfortably fourth.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So props to Eddie Howe. Let's move on. That's not the point of the.
Okay. So midfield. I forgot to touch on Newcastle anyway. So yeah. Thanks for the reminder, Trippier. So midfield, we both went with Salah. I think Salah was comfortably top midfield scoring midfielder. 239 points. Odegaard is 212 points. So yeah, that's comfortably. I think that was a safe choice. We probably go with the same one next season as our predictions as well. Will you? Well, maybe now. You go for Saka maybe. And our forward, of course, you didn't fancy Haaland yet, right?
Yeah, so you're in Kane.
Yeah, and I went with Haaland, so yeah.
You got one more point than me, Lam.
Yeah. Because that's the only difference, right?
Mm.
Yeah, okay. So first manager side, there were a million managers side this season. Okay, there's a total of, I think, 14 So 40 manager sack. So we tried to predict the first manager sack. Who was your manager, bro?
The one I predicted was Lampard.
Yeah. So yeah. Lampard was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th manager.
Surprisingly.
Yeah, surprisingly.
You lasted that
I went with, yeah, I went with Brendan Rodgers, which is like further on. I think he was like 12th manager sack. So the first manager sack is Scott Parker in Bournemouth. August 30th. That's like even August. Then Thomas Tuchel, Graham Potter, Bruno Lage, Steven Gerrard, Ralf Hasenhüttl. Then Lampard, Jesse March, Nathan Jones, Patrick Vieir, Antonio Conte, Rodgers. Then Potter again. And Javi Garcia. Oh my god, Potter. Yeah, none of us could have predicted. I think Scott Parker was, he did well actually.
He was unlucky with the start of the season. He had like a run of difficult games and then he just got sacked.
I think it was his comments, right? It was his the way he was in the press conference. But yeah.
Yeah, but surprisingly, yeah, Bournemouth stayed up.
That's the thing. Gary O'Neill should be up there. He wasn't even nominated for manager of the year, man. Everyone thought Bournemouth will relegate. So in terms of expectations, right? I think he should be up there, man.
Yeah, I thought easily Bournemouth would be like,
Will
be like out of the Premier League, like January kind of, you know, like
after 9-0 kind of, it's still yeah.
Thanks, that's crazy. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you still don't rate Solanke and Co, right?
No.
I think
I would never have Solanke in my team ever.
I don't know, man. The way I look at Solanke, right? We talk about it next time, but let's just move on. Okay. Signing of the season, you went with your boy, bro.
Gabriel Jesus. I mean, to be fair, he started off the season well. I think he had a decent season, but I mean,
signing of the season is not that. He's signing of the season for us, no? It's only one, right?
Zinchenko. I think Zinchenko will probably go ahead for me over Jesus. For the impact he had on the team. And because Jesus was also out injured for long. So I think Zinchenko, I wouldn't really call it signing, but I think Saliba was, I think, had a greater impact going to the first team. I mean, he's been he's not really a signing, but he had more.
But if impact. He was, he's probably up there, or he was Zinchenko.
Yeah.
I went with Haaland because I was quite high on Haaland. So yeah, I think Haaland is definitely the signing of the season. You want to talk about who's your second and third? Do you have anyone in mind? Whole Premier League.
Signing of the season. Yeah. Well, I haven't really thought about that. Maybe you go.
I think Botman. I think Botman underrated. I think he really the level went up with his ability for Newcastle. The defensive. So, yeah, I think Botman has to be top three.
I was asking the Newcastle fan. I spoke to him about what signings he thought would be good, right? Then I told him left back maybe to improve, right? Yeah. But he was kind of. He liked Denman because Denman is like a Newcastle guy through and through and through. Right. But he said and Denman is like a centre back. He said kind of being played as a left back. But he said there's no space in the centre back positions because he felt that Shar and Botman has got it nailed.
How long did you talk to you for? Where were you guys now?
We're on the bus. I think it was a long talk. We talked about everything, football.
Sit next to him. Everything.
Yeah. I was in a bus. It was a 2-hour long bus ride,
a proper coach ride, to a place. I think I agree. Burn is good, but I think that's a place to upgrade. Like a proper.
I'm hearing Kieran Tierney might go to Newcastle. A good signing for Newcastle.
I think Madison looks likely. I feel.
Yeah. I mean, there were talks of him going also. So you're saying okay, second, second Botman has to be Botman. Second. Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't think of anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, then move on.
Yeah.
You have no one, right? Okay. So the last one, right? This is the fun one. Right? So it's surprise asset of the season. So the criteria is, at point of choosing, right? He has to be less than 5% owned and never got 120 points before in a season. Okay. So I'll just go with mine further. So mine is Yuan Wisa of Brentford. So he ended the season with 111 points. Mm. So he 16 starts. So if his minute is 1,587 minutes, so that's equivalent to 17.6 full 90 minutes. So he got 7 goals and 4 assists. So 11 returns in 16 starts. From the look of it, it's fine. It's decent, actually. So, but I think your one probably beats mine.
Yeah.
Which is?
I got Saliba as my answer. I think he was less than 5% owned, to be honest. Our criteria for this was it had to be less than 5% owned before game week 1, and he was less than 5% owned. I think he probably ended the season like 20-30% owned, Saliba. Yeah. But I mean, of course, he got injured towards the end. But I'm not sure why I got like Saliba, and then at the side, I have like Martinelli. That's probably like is the second my second pick, is it? Martinelli?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure why.
You choose one, yeah.
yeah. But anyway, my answer was Saliba, but I think Martinelli was also a good pick, lah. Because I probably
he didn't want 20 points, Eric. But I'm not sure why.
I'm not sure. I don't think Martinelli is less than 5% owned at the start of the season. Everyone owned Martinelli at the start, right?
Actually, I know why maybe you put that, because maybe he was like 4.9% owned, then maybe he was 50-50 inside.
Oh, maybe. Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Because he was 6 million, I'm sure he was quite highly owned.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think
he would have qualified.
Yeah, Saliba. Everyone was hot on him in like after the first 2-3 game weeks.
4.5 million, right?
Yeah, 4.5 million. Yeah.
So he had 117 points, 27 starts. So he missed the last 11 games, right? So I think he's still decent. 117 points, 4.33 points per start. So that's very good, actually.
Yeah. So I think
4.5 million defender.
I'm probably taking the point here, right?
Yeah, I think I'll give it to you. So, anyway, if we use the same criteria for next season, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I might choose Visa again, bro, because Tony's not wrong. I might if it's not 5% owner. Yeah. And you know Pontus Janssen, the Brentford player. So he was on the BT Sports Studio, right? He actually said, right, Visa is the best finisher in the club, Tony included. So
wow, okay.
Yeah, he actually said that live on the studio. So yeah, there's something there. And if he's still a midfielder next season, and if he's 5.5 million, I would say he's pretty nailed. But depending on the signings, of course. Right now, we can't really say. Because Tony's not around, right? But instead of Mbeumo, who's probably maybe more expensive, right? Maybe Wissa could be an option. Option for the FPL team, and also option for my surprise asset for the season next season.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not bad, bro. 11 returns in 16. I think that's not bad. But of course, if more games, it'll be harder to reach that ratio.
Smaller sample size, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, now we'll just talk about lessons learned on our own personal FPL season. So, do you want to go turn by turn?
Or maybe you just go yours first, and then after I'll go mine.
Alright. So the first lesson learned, right, for me is basically FOMO. And like, don't sell someone if you're planning to buy him back the following week. So I did this for Cancelo. So Cancelo is my main bugbear. I think he's the guy who kind of like screwed up my season in a way. Like screwed up my thinking because I was so scared of him. So in game week 13, right, I took my first hit of my season, right? Because I wanted to get Cancelo so bad. Because I sold him in game week 12 because City blanked. Okay? So I sold him that. So after I sold him, right, I quickly wanted to buy him back in game week 13. So by doing that, I had to sell Kane and take a hit. And after I bought Cancelo, basically it went downhill. Like he didn't do much for me, and Kane went on to be steadily returned. So yeah, and also Cancelo was my bugbear also post World Cup also lah. So basically FOMO lah. So basically why the FOMO, right? In game week 10 or game week 11, he's got 18 points. In game week 10. So that's basically the FOMO lah. Right, he got 18 points.
Do you get the 18 points or not?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I think I did. That's why I wanted. I was afraid that he's going to get it again, right? But then he went out of favor. So basically, the 18 points was the FOMO I sold him in 12, right? So my lesson learned is basically don't sell him in 12. Like if I knew I want him long term, maybe I shouldn't just sell him. But yeah, what do you think?
Yeah,
of the FOMO factor.
Yeah, but you did it with someone else, right? And you were doing I think you were doing this with like Haaland also, right? You sold Haaland and then got him back, right?
Correct, right? Yeah, so I think Haaland because he was in
how does this how do you tell? So my question is how do you tell? So with Cancelo this season was a bit difficult, right? Because like all of us, like I think held on to him to longer than we had to, because we didn't know what Pep was, where Pep was at with Cancelo. So that was the difficulty, I think, with Cancelo this season. I think I'm not sure whether this one is more of like a Cancelo issue or was it more of a FOMO issue.
Right? Because basically the 18 points is the one that screwed it up. Like, it's an outlier, like, if you think. If, let's say he just got 9 points, I think I wouldn't be so FOMO. But the Haaland, that's a good point. Because the reason why I didn't bring that, right, because I sold him for Alvarez and actually got a return from Alvarez. Yep. So that's why I wasn't, because it's a good thing that happened. Then I bought him back again. Because I thought, that was just before the World Cup. So I thought the transfers were not as precious.
Yeah, so like my point here is like whether this is an issue of FOMO or is it an issue of a player specific problem? Because I think for me, Cancelo was like it's more of a player specific problem where we didn't know Pep was at with Cancelo. I think I think FOMO doesn't apply really to all cases . I mean, it's good to FOMO sometimes. I mean, if it's for Haaland, definitely good to FOMO. Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it depends on the EO also. I mean, yeah, you have to base it a lot on like whether the player is highly owned. Right? If it's like highly owned as Haaland, I think it's probably best that you FOMO in. But if it's someone that, you know, like it's like in the periphery, like maybe like 10-20%.
But Cancelo, yeah.
Was it highly owned?
I'm sure he was. Okay, I'll go to my second point quickly because he's on the same player, Cancelo. Yep. So my gut post World Cup, right, was not to start with Cancelo. I didn't even have him in my draft. But the thing is, I didn't sell him and I had value in him. So I started with him. So basically, in after the World Cup, right, he got 1 point, 0 point, 1 point, 1 point before City sold him post World Cup. So basically, I didn't want to go here. I don't know why. So the lesson is just stick to my gut. That was my post World Cup went downhill. And we'll talk about it more. But yeah, I think Cancelo was a bit torn in my season. So okay, anyway, one more thing. Let's talk about Kane. A side note on Kane, okay? He finished 9 points behind Haaland. 9 points. We're talking about Haaland, record breaking season. And it was between usually it was between Salah and Kane, right, in your team. Correct? And Kane outscored Salah by 24 points. That's quite a lot. Okay, so there was a narrative that Kane was playing in a bad team. But that's a good thing, actually. If you think about it, right, he hogs all the bonus points because he's playing in, like, I think first six clean sheets all season. So okay, let's tell you something. He got 48 bonus points.
The highest bonus point any player has got, right? We did.
I'm not sure.
I think we did a quiz. I think that was
okay. This season.
I'm not sure about but this season he is the highest bonus point scorer.
Salah had his 303 points, right? 40 more points than Kane. That season, right, he only got 26 bonus. So Kane got 48 bonus. So basically, Kane was, whenever he scores, it's just more than 4 points, because the team just sucks. And Haaland, right, record-breaking Haaland, only got 40 bonus points this season. So Kane got 8 more. Yeah, so that's, I don't know, just, what do you think of this Kane, that this conundrum that Kane, just 9 points behind Haaland, man? Was it a mistake?
It's gonna be tough next season, to choose who to start with.
Haaland will be more. Yeah, I think Kane won't be in our team. I guarantee you he'll be 12.5 minimum.
And then Haaland will be like 13 plus.
Haaland will be 13.5, and we can't afford both. I mean, maybe we can. I don't know, but I don't see him being in our teams.
Probably,
and we have the same conversation, right?
Yeah.
What do you think? I don't know. Unless he moves, let's say he goes Man U, then well.
Then I don't know what to think about Kane. because you mentioned that it's a lousier team, that's why he's sucking out all the bonus, right?
That's true, that's a good point. Bruno will probably get, and Rashford, maybe he wouldn't be that ideal in a better team. But he could score more, he got more chances. I don't know, man. I thought about Kane now, but I know full well he won't be in my team because of the price, because he will be crazily priced.
We'll see. Yeah. Not sure.
Yeah, but yeah, just to take note, it's so hard to look back and say, well, why didn't we eat Kane more? Why didn't we own Kane more? But yeah, and it's something to take note next season.
Yeah, I actually have Kane as my rank killer. My top rank killer is Kane. We did this like analysis of our season, and then the top rank killer for me is Kane.
He's your top? So how many? I think how many times did you own him?
I felt like I'm quite surprised because I felt like I own him quite a lot. I mean, like whenever people own him, I own him. Yeah, so I'm kind of surprised that he was miraculous.
No, there's a in the same Excel file, right? Towards the end, right? They will show how many times you start the player. You can quickly see
how many times I start the player.
Yes, correct. You open the Excel file. Okay. Anyway, for me, right, my highest, my worst. Okay, we'll talk about it later, lah. So your Kane is your worst. My Kane is actually my second one that helped me the most, and I started Kane 18 times. How about you?
Oh, not as much, eh? Apparently, wait. Let me just search.
I'm quite surprised Kane is your most hurt. Hey, no, wait. Actually, Kane is third. So Kane is second player that helped me the most, and Kane is third.
I started Kane 12 times. Oh. Yourself is 18.
18, yeah. Hey, but Kane hurt me the third most, eh? And helped me second most. Yeah. How does that work?
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So who's the player that helped you the most? Anyway, since we are there.
Martinelli.
Okay. Mine is Salah. Then you don't want to hurt you the most? Let me guess. Who hurt you the most?
Kane. I told you what.
He's second.
Highest rank killer.
Who hurt you the most? Saka. Second. No.
Hurt me the most. Interestingly, the person who hurt me the most is Cancelo. Second. I don't even know how.
Because you didn't own him. I remember pre-World Cup.
Oh,
you didn't own him at all.
Yeah. I didn't even start with Cancelo. I didn't even play him at the start. Yeah. I FOMO'd into him. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So you never ring any bells out with my lesson learned?
Yeah. I forgot.
Because after that, you went so downhill, right? Because you thought... But you start with... Who? Ruben Dias, eh?
Yeah, I can't remember one of the other guys. Either Dias or... Laporte lah.
Yeah, one of them lah. One of them. You tried to cover the points, right? But it didn't work, right? Because Cancelo was hogging the bonus. That's why I'm saying there's something. It's so hard to predict his downfall lah. Because he was doing well.
Yeah. Now even though now it's coming back to me.
Let's move on to your first lesson. Let's before you continue.
You're not gonna go through your other.
Oh yeah, you want to complete mine first. Okay.
Just go through yourself. Mine is quite.
Okay, second one is. So basically, don't be loyal. So this is a lesson not in FPL, but in IRL. In like Jurgen Klopp, right? One of my biggest pet peeves as a Liverpool fan, right? He is so loyal, man. I mean, if he had his way, right, Bobby will still be in the team. Milner will be in his team. Like he just don't be loyal. So for my personal case, right, Foden was my biggest bugbear. So he did super well for me pre-World Cup. So post-World Cup, right, the reason why I told myself that I should keep him is because of his price that I have in it. Basically, I didn't want to lose price. I think I was up 0.4. So that's the only reason, which didn't make sense. Like, post-World Cup, right? We didn't know what the Man City team would look like because there's so many changes like the World Cup. So, I mean, it wasn't a worthy gamble when I look back. And post-World Cup, right? He basically didn't start. He's got 1-1-1-1 before I saw him. So, yeah, for Man City, etc. The reason why I bought Foden in the first place, there was a reason behind it. I mean, because he didn't start in the Champions League. I remember you told me to buy him. Then I basically got his hauls. So, like post World Cup, there's nothing to base on, right? Because we didn't know what the hell was happening after the World Cup, right? Just a whole tournament and all. So yeah, I think
generally
the loyalty.
City this season was a bit like hard to predict. The players that we relied on last season, which was like Foden and Cancelo, and these players who are great last season, they kind of like fell out of favor ish with Pep this season.
Correct.
Yeah. So kind of like I think. On your point on don't be loyal also, I think don't base it off like previous season too much. Don't be too loyal or don't be too attached to what has happened before in previous seasons. I mean, things could change in this season. So I think Cancelo and Foden are two players that I think general FPL committee held on too long. To this player,
he did so well for me, man. I got his hat trick against Man U and stuff. He brought me to the highest rank, but that's why he just, But I'm the opinion that you need to get to buy the ticket to get lucky. So I'm all for punts, especially for Man City. But there needs to be a reason, That's like post World Cup. I think there was better assets around. I remember there was no reason for me to keep Foden, other than the fact that I have value on him, tied in him. So yeah, that's really one thing I should take note of next season. Okay, so so this one is a big one, So. The next lesson is don't make sideway moves. Okay, so context is double game week 25 for Arsenal and Liverpool. Okay, so that is the game week that I transfer out Martinelli for his 20, before he got 26 points. So the context is he was, there was Trossard, right? So there was his minutes that that were, what's that, under threat lah, so called lah. And also I got in Nketiah. So basically I took it to transition to Nketiah, Martinelli to Nketiah. And Nketiah was actually on form. He was actually top of Net the Hall's captaincy matrix for that double game week. So I thought, well, this is just perfect lah. I mean, I had to buy, I had to do other moves lah. Then basically I could basically get Nketiah, because I had to sell Mitro. I think that I can get Nketiah for his spot. So basically that was just went downhill from there lah. I think there was a, okay, so basically the final decision, right, in that game week, right, was between Mahrez and Nketiah or Martinelli and Watkins. So I chose Mahrez and Nketiah lah. So basically I forgot Martinelli and Watkins. So from that decision, right, alone, right, there was a chain reaction. No? Firstly, it forced me to walk out in 26, where I missed Darwin and Salah's hauls in the 7-0. I had to walk out because I kept Mahrez, who was a rotation risk. I bought Nketiah and he was injured. So basically, I was unlucky because Arteta didn't mention that he was actually, Nketiah had a niggle. He didn't even start the both games in the double game with 25, by the way. So that was like really unlucky in a way. And also, the fact that I didn't choose Watkins, right, he kind of punished me throughout. I didn't buy him like in the subsequent game weeks. So it's a chain reaction.
Was Watkins one of the rank killers?
No. The top one is actually Mitoma. Watkins is fourth.
Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Mitoma, that's why I wanted. Okay, let's transition. Okay. So there was another way, because Mitoma is my top, right? Top
another right, sideways move that you made.
Yes. So second thing that I didn't learn from the same season is, was that a double, double game 26. So this is towards the end. So I own double defense for Brighton and McAllister from 27. So I've always thought, cause that's where Mitoma killed me, like my rank. Even though McAllister did okay, but Mitoma was just hauling and he was so highly earned. That's why I was thinking, okay, I got it wrong from the start because Brighton was posting minimum 2xG every game, every damn game. So I thought I had a mistake. So in double game 36, I thought, okay, finally I can correct my mistake. So I saw Estupinian for Mitoma. So basically I took a hit to buy Mitoma by selling Estupinian, and then Estupinian went on to score 17 points away to Arsenal when they just considered 5 at home to Everton.
Yeah,
that
but
really stinks, man.
It's difficult to tell. I mean, like, of course, like, I mean, it's easy to say don't make sideways move, right? But at which point, like, do you, like, say, like, admit your mistake in getting a player and move on to the more highly owned player, right?
Yeah.
Or do you stick it out and then wait for the horse to come in? Because, like, yeah, so, I mean, the lesson learned here is don't make sideways moves. I mean, if it's a similar player like McAllister, Mitoma, and March, right? I mean, those three guys are sideways moves, right? Like, I mean, they are, we've established in this season that I think three of them, I think there's nothing to them. Like, yes. I mean, it's almost about the same if you have them. Like, you just have to hold on to one of them and then just get the hauls over a period. Like, I mean, much might haul on 1 week, but another week would be Mitoma or McAllister. Yeah, so at which point is it a sideways move, and at which point is it a mistake, like what I did with Cancelo, you know, not starting with Cancelo and playing him. So I don't think you might have the answer for that, but I think that's the difficulty in playing FPL, I suppose. Like, you have to identify what's a sideways move, and you have to identify what is something that you made a mistake and you have to correct it. You know, that's
okay.
There's a difference in that. Yeah.
What do you think of my these two? Was it like a fatal mistake or was it just one?
I think the Martinelli to Nketiah, I think was more of a mistake, because I think Nketiah was not as highly owned as Martinelli. But for, I think for the Estupinian one, I mean, you were unlucky not to get the 17 points from Estupinian. I mean, it's just unlucky that you got him out in that week. But I think I wouldn't think that it's a sideways move. I think that's more of a kind of a...
Okay.
It's a move that, I think I would have made as well. I think that Martinelli and Nketiah, I think, would have been more of a sideways move for me. I mean, you can even argue that it's a move downwards.
From the Estupinian, right? Okay, actually, my learning point from that move, right, it's not actually the sideways move. The reason why I had to sell Estupinian, right, is because I wanted to buy Trippier, okay? So the lesson learned here, right, is not to sell Trippier in the first place and not put myself in that tough situation. Because I sold Trippier for Trent in double game week 34, knowing full well, right, I will have a tough decision in 36 when Newcastle double came along. So I think next time before I do that, I should consider, okay, try to make the game simpler. Like, don't make these moves. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I think there were lots of points in during the season where I felt like maybe you were just like making moves, right? That you know could be problematic later, yeah. You know, kind of thing. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I think I would advise against that, lah. Yeah.
Okay. I agree. Yeah. So just make the game simpler, lah. Right. So yeah, the Cancelo one, I made the game harder by sending him. Then the next game, I had a decision to make. So yeah, just make the game simpler. Like for example, don't have a rotation goalkeeper lah. So that's one headache away from your game week one draft. That's one way just to make the game simpler. Yeah, that's definitely a lesson then. I think that's it for me, man. Let's just move on to your team.
Yeah, I'll just do a quick one. As in my lessons learned, right? Yeah. So at the start of the season, I made this is the strategy I took. I mean, for the past seasons, I've been tracking price changes. I've been trying, looking at my team value a lot, right? So this season, I made a conscious decision not to do that at all. And I kind of liked it. I enjoyed playing without chasing the price changes. I think it gives me the freedom of mind. I think it's one less thing I have to fuss about when I...
Even from the start also?
At the start, from the start. From game week 1 to game week 38, I didn't even play the price change at all. I waited until the last day of the game week, and then I made my changes then. So it gives me clarity. It gives me what are the players that you want at the end at the deadline. I mean, I think there were weeks where maybe I would price out some moves, right? But there was always alternatives for me. Like either I could take hits or I could do something to get the player that I want. Yeah. So I think playing without chasing the price changes is a very refreshing way to play. It takes one dimension out of the game, right?
Yeah.
But I think it didn't cripple me that much, I felt, the whole season.
Can you quickly check what was the team value towards the end of the season?
Towards the end of the season?
Yeah, like game week 38. Because for me, mine was pretty bad. And
my team value was 101.7.
Okay. Yourself? Yours is more than mine. 101.3.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you chase price changes, right? Yeah. So, generally, I felt right, that as long as you got the popular, highly owned players,
yeah,
right, and you get them in early, you'll just ride the price rise. I mean, even if you don't get them early, right? I mean, if by any chance you miss like 2 price changes in a week, right? Getting them at a more expensive price sometimes is not. It's not a big problem, because then when you sell them, then you sell them for a higher price also. And I think generally player will ever stay in your team for like the whole season. You know, I think with the exception of Haaland.
But then again, right?
With the exception of Haaland, who I sold at the last day of the season, right? I think nobody stayed in my team for the whole season. So I mean, nobody's gonna stay in your team for a whole season. You when you sell them, you're still gonna get more value than someone who bought them earlier. So
okay, the only thing is, right, this season, right, you may not feel it because we have a lot of good cheap assets from Arsenal, especially. So maybe next season, we are relying on like Chelsea to be the next Arsenal next season, right? It could not be the same. So maybe next season could be different, and like a decent team value would have come in handy, lah. Just something to take note, lah. But I do agree, lah. It's a stressing part also, lah. Just make the game simpler and more enjoyable, lah. That's definitely a way to go.
Yep. Okay. Next one is don't skip out on high EO players. Now that you reminded me of Cancelo, I think this is what I'm referring to. I think Cancelo was highly owned at the start of the season. I didn't have him, and I think he punished me quite a bit. Yeah, but generally, I think if you go with high EO players, you're running with a pack, basically. And this pack usually runs at a good rate. I mean, at a rate that like will at least get you close to top 100k in the season. Yeah. But anyway, both of us ended top 100k this season. So there's
we didn't say that. We didn't say
I forgot to mention. We met our targets of reaching top 100k. Yeah. And they're saying because there are so many players in FPL now, the top 100k is almost like a top 10k of previous seasons, right? Yeah, okay. So anyway, so high EO players, they bring you as close. They'll give you a good rank, like, if you follow the EO. So I think the trick is maybe those players in the 11 with like maybe not as high the EO. I think that's where you can experiment again, can play around with your team with la. Yeah, and then that's where you get your differentials in.
So high EO is more than 30%. That's your rough gauge. Do you think that
is that too high?
I don't know. I think that's too low.
Too low?
Because 30 plus, right?
There are a lot of players.
High EO la. Yeah, there's a lot. You can't own all the 30%+, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I think it should be higher than 30. I think maybe 40%.
40? Yeah, okay, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I mean, there isn't a hard and fast rule, but I mean, just generally, follow the FPL Live, just see who the highly owned players are. Read
FPL around. Life.
Live FPL, yeah, sorry. Yeah, and then follow around Twitter and see what people are having in their teams.
Okay,
yeah. And look at your leagues as well. I mean, you're basically competing around your mini leagues. Yeah. See who are the highly owned players in your mini leagues. I think that's important as well. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So
next.
My next lesson is don't leave your BB until too late, your bench boost. I left it until game week 37. I had lots of chips to use at the end of the season. I think that was bad for me because in game week 37, I think Man City, they've already secured the season. They've already won the season. I had 3 Man City players in my team from my bench boost, and I was in a bad position of having Man City players in my bench boost when I knew that they didn't have anything to play for. So I think there are a lot of other teams, not only Man City. I think a lot of other teams, they already secured the Champions League. They've already secured they're already secured from relegation, right? So I think there are a lot of teams that have changes and maybe they don't have nothing to play for. So don't leave it too late, because BB, you need all your players to be playing, and you need all your players to be playing 2 games. So I think bench boost, try not to leave it until like game week 37.
Yeah. So let me ask you. So you were supposed to bench boost in 29, but you probably had to take -8. So looking back, if you were to wind back a lesson, would you have taken a -8 to bench boost in 29? Or -12? I don't know how many minus.
No, I wouldn't have. Right, but I think knowing what I learned, which is not to leave my 34. BB too late, I would have made my I would have planned for bench boost in 28 better, so that I don't have to take hits you mentioned 28, right? Was it 28 that 29, most people
29. But 29. I think you planned for 29, but just that there was too many injuries.
Yeah.
So should I remember?
Yeah, so which brings me to my next point. I think it's always good to wild card into a bench boost, right? It's a very classic move, like you wild card the week before and then you bench boost the next. It gives you a shorter runway to plan your team, like, because what I did, I think I bench wild carded early. I wild carded like 30.
No, actually, right? 33 or I can't remember. Wild carded in 34. No, you should have bench boost in 34, right? Looking back. What do you think?
I still had Haaland and my TC, so I needed to use my Haaland TC. I would have still played 34. But I wildcarded early before my triple captain. Right, so
you wildcarded 33. That's not early.
Yeah, 33 for a bench boost in 37. What I'm saying is that you should wildcard as close to your bench boost as possible. I think that's a good strategy to have. I mean, that's always something that I've done. I think it kind of worked for me in the previous seasons. Right. But yeah, I think I'll try to do that as far as possible. I'll try not to leave a long runway from between my wildcard and my bench boost. Because a lot can change in a few game weeks.
In a normal season, right, do you remember the double game weeks are only like in 34 and 37, right? Like
there's usually only two, I think, in a normal season. I think this season we had like the Queen's death and all that, right?
So usually just bench boost in the first double game week, like in a normal, next season will probably be a normal season, right? So just don't leave it. I remember 37 is always a double game week, so probably don't bench boost. Yeah, there's always a double game in 37. I think 34 is the, or 33 is the first double game week of the season. After a blank in the quarterfinal FA Cup blank. Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's about it. Like, okay, I think the last lesson is, I think, just keep it simple. Your free hit. I think just free hit in the blank game week. I think I wouldn't say you gain a lot of points from free hitting on a blank game week, because I think everyone else does, right? But it kind of gives you the freedom of mind. Like, it's much easier to play when you just free hit in a blank game week. Rather than plan around the blank game week and plan again around the double game week. So I'm not really a big fan of free hitting for a double game week. I'm not sure. I think some people did it with successfully managed to do a good free hit for double game weeks. But I think those are more of the exception to the norm, right?
Yeah.
If it were up to me, right, I would free hit. If I still have my free hit, somehow, like, I don't use it in a blank game week, I don't need to use it somehow, right? I would rather save it for the final game week. I think it's more fun to play in the final game week. Yeah, because final game week,
that's more stressful, bro.
It's fun, bro. It's fun. I've had a lot of nice experiences playing my free hit in the last game week. And kind of like in my last game week, so you have different shows, like me playing Jesus. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do. I mean, you can have fun with it in the last game week. Yeah, so kind of enjoy playing it in the last game week. So if you do have it, I would recommend to just use it for a blank game week. Just keep it simple. I think that's what the chip is built for. Right, so just use it for what it's built for.
Alright. Anything else? Let's talk about. Okay. Anything else for this season?
No.
What are you looking forward to for next season, man? Mm-hmm. There are murmurs of few changes, right? FPL Focal, if you follow. What do you can you think of anything that will make it more fun?
Or I don't stick know. To the what are the changes that?
No, I think we don't know. But maybe. What's that? They might change the deadline timing. I mean, it's not much of a change, but they might do that and then maybe add more
to what? Two hours before the kickoff.
I don't know. I think it doesn't help anyway. Let's say they move it to the first kickoff, right? It won't help because there will be leaks for the next game, the next timing. So I think they should just stick to one and forget about it. I think the leak will be there either way. Unless it's like 4 hours before or the day before. But that's not realistic. But yeah, but anyway, I would like to see some changes in the chips. So just to make it more variation and more like for us engaged people to get ahead in a way, because if there's more new stuff, there'll be lesser people wanting to learn. I don't know, something more fun limitless or.
Yeah, I'm okay with things as it is. I wouldn't really call for any changes in the. I can't really think of any at the moment.
The final fixed chip, bro. Change your captain midweek. something like that.
Talking about F1, I've been using F1 as my F1 fantasy as to fill my hole of my.
Alright. I'll talk to you about it. So, yeah. Do you make any transfers this game week, bro?
Yeah, I did.
For spin?
Yeah, I did. I played my chip also.
Just tell me, I lazy check, bro. What was your transfer? Oh, you played chip?
Yeah, I played chip. I played triple captain chip for Verstappen.
Any reasons?
I just thought that it was kind of obvious that Verstappen is going to run away with it.
But it's every.
Yeah, I mean. The thing is, I wouldn't play it in like a Singapore race or something. I know Singapore race kind of like dodgy, right?
I think you made a mistake, bro. You have to play in a sprint race because there's more points.
Really?
There'll be more, sprint race, there'll be extra points. So I think you
I'm kind of like a F1 casual player.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you made a mistake. Because usually a sprint race, you get more points. So yeah, you're ahead of me now, right? So let's talk again.
Yeah, but I also move Stroll for Gasly, so I think that's a good move. Ooh. Also.
For now, we don't know whether it's good, bro. The race is tonight.
Yeah. So I kind of like watching the race so to fill the fantasy FPL. Yeah. The fantasy hole in me,
Let's just get out here. I think thanks for listening to us all season. Whether you listen to one episode, to three episodes, or to every episode, thanks everyone for listening. I think we'll definitely be back. Hopefully, we'll be back better next season. We might do something pre-season. You know the fixtures are going to be announced in less than 2 weeks, which is ridiculous. 15 June. We won't do any pod. I think we will do late July lah. We will take a break. I think we are planning to do one like next week with the winner of our podcast. That is still in the works. Nothing is done and nothing is confirmed lah. But we are planning to do. We'll talk through his team. So do listen up. Yeah. Any last words before we?
Yeah. I mean, thanks everyone for listening. I mean, we always ask for this. We always ask for suggestions. I mean, just drop us a DM or just drop us a message on Telegram channel for suggestions. We always ask for it, but nobody actually gives us suggestions. But I mean, yeah. But we do see our listener numbers. I mean, the people do listen to us, and it's heartwarming to see that lah. And yeah, thanks a lot for listening in, to tuning in this season, and we'll be back next season. Anything else?
Yeah. Let's go. Let's get out here. See you. See you soon.
All right. We're FPL Kopi Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.